Are you feeling like you're missing precious time with your kids because of work, stress, or just the daily grind of military life? Well, if so, you're not alone. As a veteran or a service member, you've already sacrificed so much, and now you want to show up for your family in a way that feels meaningful and connected. And just imagine being able to build deeper bonds, give your kids personalized education, and keep some stability no matter how often life moves you around. That dream is more possible than you think. In this episode, Natalie Mack shares her experience of 23 years of homeschooling across multiple duty stations, yes, even overseas, and she breaks down the unique challenges military families face with education, how homeschooling can be both empowering and flexible, and why it might just be the tool you didn't know you were looking for. Whether you're considering homeschooling or you're knee-deep in it already, this is the conversation that brings clarity, encouragement, and real-world tips that will help you along your journey. But before we dive in, I also want to take a moment to raise awareness for something deeply important to our community, the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. This organization is working to build a permanent national memorial in Washington, D.C. to honor our service members, the families, and civilians impacted by the global war on terrorism. If you want to learn more or find out how you can support the mission, visit gwattmemorialfoundation.org. Now let's get into today's episode. Natalie, welcome to the show. I am so glad to have you here. Hopefully you can share some insights with us on military homeschooling and the type of stuff that you've gone through, but looking forward to this.
I am too. Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's kind of just take a little kind of step back and see kind of where your journey, what got you motivated to start homeschooling within your family, and especially in context of a hairy family, what was the motivation there for you, and how did you kind of get started with that?
So that's a good question. We've been homeschooling 3+ years, all within a military context, and when we started homeschooling right before 9/11, so that's a signature date there. Prior to that, our children that were school aged, we had 3 children at the time. Our 2 daughters were in a private Montessori in Maryland, and we were in between military, if that makes sense. My husband had served active duty intel in the Army, had gotten out to pursue ministry. And so we were in that space living as civilians in Maryland and prior to coming in. So that summer, we had decided he had an opportunity to come back in the Navy as a chaplain. And We had met several families who were homeschooling, and we really liked what we saw from their families. They had this amazing time bonding together and learning together and exploring life together. Yeah. And but we had this great private Montessori experience that we really, really liked, and everything seemed perfectly fine. So the first that were to California, and we really felt like, oh, this is a pivoting point. This is a time that we might want to homeschool. Another factor was that our youngest daughter was at one point in daycare, and we just felt as if we didn't have enough quiet time with her. And I had TEDx on the impact of homeschooling, and it talked about our journey and how our youngest daughter's preference for this person really was just something that just kind of caused us to pause. And it was good for your children that are in, if they're in daycare, to like your provider. But we felt that there was a little bit more bonding than should have been with me. And so all of those factors came together, and we found ourselves embarking upon homeschooling and have not looked back. And it's been an incredible journey.
That's awesome. And part of the reason why I wanted to have you on the show to talk about this is because homeschooling has just kind of blown up, I think, recently, especially post-COVID time period where, more and more kids were at home. It wasn't necessarily homeschooling. They were doing school, but just at home.
You got it correct. School at home, we call it.
Yeah, exactly. And, again, nothing wrong with any of the education choices that you choose, but there's pros and cons to a lot of it. And I know when I was younger, and even, you know, people older than me, if someone was homeschooled, it was almost looked at as like a strange thing. Like what's wrong with this?
Yes.
Picture. Everybody seemed to go to either public school or private school, you know, some sort of school like that. And it's okay. Well, why do you have to be homeschooled? Why are you going to school like the rest of us? Like a kid, like things that are different, they strike you as odd. And it's like, well, what's wrong with that person? You know,
exactly.
not what's wrong with me or anything like that, because obviously I'm perfect. I'm normal.
Right.
You know, and that's a kid's mind. Right. And I'm not saying that there was anything wrong with, you know, the way I went to school, but you know, my wife and I, we started homeschooling for a while, and, wife had some medical issues, and we didn't really have a choice but to send our kids to public school for half. And when they were at school, we felt the same thing that you were experiencing. You know, we weren't as close with our kids anymore, and we felt like we were just kind of growing apart. And I think, you know, especially young kids, that's kind of an important time period in their life, and important time period to make connections and bond and things like that. And some people have that argument of, oh, well, they don't know how to socialize and make friends. Our kids had so many friends, you know, growing up, and even still, there's these groups that you get a part of, and it just is such a, you know, well environment with just so many people come together and hanging out, and, you know, going out to the parks or having fun, but also learning at the same time. And so it's a different way of looking at it. I probably, you know, 30 years ago, asked me when you grow up, are you going to homeschool? I'd probably be like, I doubt it. Like, why would I, you know?
Yeah. Why? Right.
but it's just a different thing. So
it is.
From your experience, with your children, going, and I imagine there's probably different duty stations as you're moving around from place to place. What were some of the challenges that you faced, you know, as a family specifically, when it came to homeschooling, and what were some of the ways that you kind of navigated some of those challenges?
So one of the most, and that's good questions too, definitely. One of the most common challenges that military families who choose to homeschool experience is navigating the new laws for the state that they do, and helping military families realize that the laws you follow are not based on home of record. And so much in our life is home of record. And so you naturally as a family think, oh, I'm going to homeschool based on my home of record. And that's not actually the law. Right. You need to homeschool based on where your children physically reside 30 days or more is a general rule. And so when I say where your children physically reside, and someone may say, well, our children will be residing where we reside. And we know in the military, mostly that's true. But there are some situations where someone could be a geo-bachelor, right? And so you're living in a different place than where your sponsor is assigned. And so it's really clear, because homeschooling is about the children, really where they physically reside. And so that's a big challenge, is navigating the laws and recognizing that you need to research and find out what the new law is. And it's not something that you have to dig and hunt. It's very easy to find it. One of the sources is through an organization called Homeschool Legal Defense Association. I wear one hat where I work for them part-time as the military outreach coordinator. And so this podcast, though, is not me representing them. I always have to put a disclaimer out there. This is me in another capacity on the podcast. But I will shout them out, because they do have a legal page that you can reference as you're a military family and you're moving. The other is, you know, what is it like homeschooling if you get ordered overseas? OCONUS, what is that like? And so that's another of homeschooling, another journey where you don't have to follow any particular laws if you're there on accompanied orders under in a, you know, country that you have the USS SOFA, you know, in place with. And so those are the big things. The other piece, a lot of families think, oh, military families annuity and that stability. And that is still very true. But that doesn't mean we don't have adjustments similar to if we were not homeschooling. We still have to get adjusted to the new duty assignment, the new installation if you're on a base or even connected. And we have to find our new homeschool community. And it could be a homeschool co-op. It could be a homeschool support group. It could be a few families at homeschool that you just do life together with. And so your friend, your children need to find their tribe. And you as the homeschooling parent, traditionally it's the mom, but we know sometimes there's dads that are homeschooling. And so you just need to find your and get reconnected. And so those are some of this is that every 2 or 3 years, we have to find that new homeschool community, and we have to make sure we're following the law for that new state.
Yeah, and you mentioned something earlier, and I understand, you know, each state is different, and and they're all going to have their own laws, but each country is going to be different. I know there are some countries that are very, very much not friendly to homeschooling.
Yes.
What are some of those there? Like, I believe Germany is one of those countries where it's very unfriendly to homeschoolers. How do you navigate that if you want to continue that, if you kind of get stationed there?
Yeah, so one of the neat things about being military is that if you get assigned to a country, Germany, which you're right, is illegal to homeschool in Germany. But being active duty military on orders, you're in a different category. So we know that when we get orders overseas, there's something called the Status of Forces Agreement. We call it SOFA, S-O-F-A. And the SOFA does not specifically address homeschooling, but what it does is it gives certain rights that you as an American in this particular country that they have the SOFA agreement with, so say Germany, it gives you rights to proceed in life as if you were in the United States. That's kind of the best way to say it, specifically for education purposes. Mm-hmm. And so even though it's illegal to homeschool, you are in a protected status just by benefit of being on orders. Now, if a family is overseas because their sponsor has orders there, but they were not on what we call accompanied orders, which means that the orders, you know, military is very clear. You get orders to a new assignment. It says if your family is coming, then that's accompanied. If they're not, then it's unaccompanied. And we know some assignments are unaccompanied. But families may say, wow, you're going to Germany. That would be love. I would love to live in Germany, take the kids and explore. But if you're not on accompanied orders, you're in a different category because now you may be subject to the laws of Germany, if that makes sense. And so the SOFA covers people on orders. And if a family's not on the orders to be there, you just chose to live there with your active duty member, because of course you don't want to be separated, but at the same time, you have to recognize that you may not be able to continue homeschooling. And so that's where something like HSLDA does come in handy as well. And if you know that you can actually reach out to them and look into what that looks like. But in general, that's the rule of thumb is the SOFA does allow you to go ahead and continue life as if you were in the United States with certain caveats that don't really apply to education, though. So.
Well, that's something I was not familiar with. I just assumed that, like with the state laws, it kind of just the same thing applied to, you know, the other countries. You just have to kind of follow their laws. And if it's illegal to homeschool in a country, then it would be just illegal for everybody.
Right.
Yeah. But I guess, that, you know, according to this is not the case. And that's
not. We homeschool Italy, actually. We were in southern Italy in Naples. And yes, plenty. It's a large homeschooling overseas, large homeschooling community overseas. Excellent. Very large. And of course, Italy, Germany are the you know, where we have the most installations. And so you have your community there, but definitely even, you know, this in families and there, I was just speaking with someone who was reaching out for support. It's been fascinating seeing it. And one of the other benefits overseas, or I think I would call it a benefit for us, it was a benefit, is that you have the ability to enroll in the DOD school and you can take up to 3 courses. So if you're for maybe an advanced placement, what we call an AP course, and you don't want to do one online because there are plenty of opportunities to find an AP course for homeschoolers online, but you might want to in person, your student wants in person, then you could check that DOD high school, for example. And they can also participate in clubs and activities. And our children played on the high school soccer teams over in Italy. And so great.
So there's a lot of challenges that come with homeschooling. What are some of the, in your mind, some of the upsides, some of the biggest benefits that you've seen for, you know, your children or, you know, even other children who were homeschooled in a environment like this, you know, versus going to more traditional, you know, public education or even private schools?
Yeah. So there are quite a few benefits in my mind. And I will put another caveat out here that I'm pro homeschooling. And so I'm not anti-public school. Sure. There are homeschoolers who will not affiliate at all with the public school, and I respect their rights, but to feel that way, but I'm not anti, but I have seen so many benefits from my own experience with our family. I may have mentioned, I'm not sure after, you know, I mentioned we've been homeschooling for 23 years. We have 5 children. We're in our last year. So I was just heading off to college in the fall, but the other 4 have already finished college. So they were homeschooled to college, have now graduated college, and we have this one last 5th child to go. And the benefits that I've seen for our family, I've seen them for other families as well. The ability to really dig deep into what you're really passionate about, what you're interested in. We have this thing called time flexibility as homeschoolers. So that means that we can manage our time in a way that would be really not even possible if your student is in a traditional brick and mortar school, because the time is set. So for us, our children can get up earlier, get, you know, the amount of schoolwork they need to get done for the day. And then we can switch gears into passions and interests. It could be, you know, something conservation wise. It could be volunteering. It could be going on a field trip. It could be going, you know, doing errands together and giving your children an opportunity to learn how to do just daily activities of living out in community, you know, from saying, hey, you know, go in and take this into the post office and, you know, check on this and ask this question, or go into, you know, the grocery store and we're going to calculate like about how much our groceries are going to cost. We're going to do some practical math. Mm-hmm. And it's just interesting to really take that time, and you get to know your children in such a unique way. It's really, I think, challenging with the amount of time you have left at the end of the day. If a child is in a brick and mortar, most of that's focused on getting the homework done, dinner, you know, baths, and tucked into bed for the most part. And so when you look at it, you just have the weekend, and most Saturdays, right? And even Sundays are packed with, if you're doing extras like scouts or sports or something like that. So right. it's a lot of time available now. So those are some of the benefits that I've seen. Some of the challenges is, you know, have confidence to know that you can be successful, that families do homeschool to college and kids do very well, mm-hmm. that colleges do look for homeschooled students because they've seen how well they manage in school with managing their time, with being very independent learners. You know, but you have to, as a parent, be able to say, okay, I know this is going to work. And so part of what I like to, as me as a seasoned homeschooler, is to encourage families to say, you can look at our journey. Yours may not look exactly that way. Like, your students may not be college bound, as an example, but that doesn't mean that you won't have a successful homeschool experience, because your children's success is going to be aligned with who they are, what they're passionate about, what their skills are. So they might be choosing to enlist in our armed forces. They could be choosing to do a gap year where they take off and they travel and experience life that way. Might be going into a trade, which is not college bound. Or maybe they're saying, I don't want a 4-year university. I want to do a 2-year local community college, you know, get my feet wet, you know, get my confidence about doing college level work and all, and in transition. So so some of the challenges is just kind of navigating that and being confident as a homeschooling parent that you can do it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think one of the biggest benefits that you mentioned there is just being able to explore the passions or interests of the students, of your children. Because if, like you were saying, a traditional school day, and again, I'm not anti any type of, it's important regardless of where it comes
exactly.
from. So this is not me knocking public school or private school or anything like that. However, I will say this, that I do realize that when my kids were in public school, They'd come home at the end of the day, and yes, maybe there was homework, or they had like a baseball practice at school, mm-hmm. or something. And time was limited, where we had the opportunity to things outside of any of that. And
yes,
now that my kids are home, they've been home for several years doing homeschooling, and mm-hmm. the amount of time that we use to spend on, just call it more schoolwork, where you're doing your math and your science and your history, and you're filling out the worksheets and doing all that kind of work. It's only a couple hours out of the day.
Right.
It's really not that long.
It's not.
Then the rest of is exploring other interests, or things that, like you were saying, going to the grocery store and calculating, when they're younger, trying to uh-huh. get them to do math of, uh-huh. How much does all this stuff cost, and how close are we, at the end, and then maybe even calculating the tax on the little bill and those types of things. We do that in a real situation.
Right.
That helps kind of drive home, why am I doing this, all this math? When am I ever going to use it?
Right. Exactly.
so that's helpful. Right. But to me, the biggest piece is exploring those passions, because my two of my boys, they are passionate about music, and they are guitars, piano. They have even programs on the computer where they're creating their own music. As a matter of fact, if you listen to this episode and go back to the beginning, the intro music and all that stuff, that was written by my oldest son. And,
amazing!
And so I'm using. I said, hey, I'm market for some new music for this show, and I said, here's a challenge for you. Go out there and kind of list some other shows that are out there and see what kind of is out there and see if you can come up with something that's unique. And I gave him a few guidelines and everything.
And
he did, and he came out, and I thought it came out great. And so I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to use this. This is amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Really?
But that's a real life thing. Mm-hmm. He made real life money because I paid him for doing. And he was like, This is cool. I can do something with this. This isn't just me, fiddling around on the piano or, whatever.
Right.
Just playing for, once when it's done playing, you never hear it again because the sound goes away, this is going to be on, many episodes. And
exactly.
I'll refresh it someday too, and he'll update that as well. But we wouldn't have that opportunity. I would have gone to some, stock music site and paid, $30 for a license to use somebody else's music. And
you've given your child the opportunity to say, wow, this is music that I put together. And it's not just like you said, learning to play the piano and then you're done. It's not like, okay, practice for 30 minutes and it's done. It's no, there's a purpose tied to learning the piano, and then they got compensated, which, all children are like, that's not a bad deal at all.
Right. Exactly. And
I hear you.
And that's a thing that makes it to me important. Not because I benefited because I got music for my podcast. I don't care that much about my main goal, but my main goal was showing him, giving him the confidence that, hey, this is worth something. Someone will actually pay you for it. And it's good work that you're doing too. And exactly. Encouragement to encourage him to keep on doing it. And, and he does. He keeps creating stuff. It's, I'm just amazed. I don't know where,
Isn't that amazing?
Mind is just so amazing to me. Just honed in on it, and it's great. But I want to talk a little bit about you have a book, 101 for Homeschoolers, right?
Yeah,
And that a ton of advice, 101 ton of advice in there.
I even have it here.
Oh yes, excellent. Yeah, you had that in the background. Excellent.
Yeah.
But
here,
and what are some of the key takeaways for folks who are either in the middle of homeschooling themselves and they're navigating, maybe they have their, they know there's a change of duty station coming up at some point, or how am I going to continue doing this when I'm one state to another, or one country to another, or how am I going to get that? Or even maybe their kids are young and they haven't started, they're not school age yet, and they're considering it, but they're not, how do I do this? What are some of the takeaways from this book that will help some of these listeners who are, you know, considering homeschooling or continuing?
Right. So great. Thank you for shouting out my book. When I started to write it, I actually said, oh, I'll write a few tips, right? And I kept going from our experience, and I thought, and then I got to 100, and I was like, okay, that's a solid number, 100 tips. But then I had one more I wanted to add. So that's how I got to 101. And what I love about it, hopefully, and from what I've heard from families they love, is like it has the my thoughts about it. So like I put a tip. This one is trust the process. That's number one. Mm-hmm. And they're not all sequential. It just happens to be 101. So they don't build on, they build on each other for a solid message from me. But each tip stands alone. So you can read it, put it down, come back, and you don't feel like, okay, I need to refresh what was the last one. And then I have a prompt question as well. And then I have some spaces for you to be able to, you know, jot your thoughts down. And so some of the takeaways, gosh, I'll just look here. Like the first one, like I said, is trust the process. So there are families who are thinking, you know, their children are not school aged yet, but they're looking around and thinking, oh, I'm hearing things about other, you know, the public school. I'm not quite excited about that. And I know I was, you know, educated in public school, but I think things are different now. And, you know, what's this homeschooling thing that everyone keeps talking about? And so trust the process that, belief in your own ability, you know, belief in being the best advocate for your children. I always say, oh, a committee will be the best advocate for their children. And that belief that you're committed to their well-being, that you're going to see it out. It doesn't mean that homeschooling means you're a subject. So you don't have to be an expert at every subject. You don't have to feel like, oh, I did fantastic in school. So yeah, I'm going to be a solid educator to my children. You don't, because there's a market of homeschool curriculum that comes alongside you, the teacher, you, the parent, and will help you be successful. Some of it helps you as a parent teach the subject to your child in a real easy to follow ways, and others teach the child directly. There's online options. And then when they get to be older, there's other possibilities as well. There's even co-ops that you can participate in so your children can get some of the classes that they need. So there's an amazing homeschool community and market that will help you. So don't allow yourself to believe that, oh, only licensed teachers can actually teach our children. And then the other one I would say is, what are your values that you want to impart? Homeschooling allows you to impart your values. One of the things we have realized in the nonprofit that I started, Military Homeschoolers Association, is that we did a survey, we did the first survey for military homeschooling because there wasn't data out there. And one of the things that we were asking these families, we had 861 responses, you know, families that chose to respond. And we ended up doing our data analysis with 763 solid responses to 68 questions. And what we discovered in that is that a lot of families are really kind of concerned about the environment that exists within the public school. And they're concerned about how their children, and then consequently that impact on the children comes into the family as a whole. And so a child and children can't be impacted without it having some consequence to your family life, right? Sure. And what you want to do with your family and how you want your family, the values you want them to have. So homeschooling allows you to have that. So that put that, that it allows you to have that impact and the values that you want to impart. And so all the tips, the whole thing is I want people to have their homeschooling experience. And I want to realize that strong academics, definitely, you know, we as homeschoolers definitely want our children to be, you know, educated well. But we also want to look at homeschooling as a lifestyle. So there are two ways. Families may look at it as an academic choice, or you can look at it as a lifestyle. And so what I advocate in this book and in our own journey is to look at homeschooling as a lifestyle, meaning our children And us as parents, we're learning together, we're doing life together. And homeschooling is not just about 9 to 2 and 9 to 1 and 9 to 3 or whatever it is of academics. It's about you're living life together. If you're going to go on a trip and you're driving somewhere, involve the kids. So what are the stops going to be along the way? About how long will it take us to get from here to here? What are the places we want to see? Just, you know, or make a list of the groceries that we need. Oh, can you check and make sure we need this, this, this? And you get to the grocery store. Maybe, you know, the kids that are old enough can go get certain items, right? Teaching the independence. And really being able to celebrate your family, celebrate their accomplishments, and see their abilities. Like with your son in piano, wow, what a front row view you have in a way that you might not have if your child was not being homeschooled. It's not to say that, you know, kids in school don't become accomplished pianists. That's not at all what we're saying. Sure. It's just that you have a front row view to see his development over time, mm-hmm. and see how he started here. And now look where he is. And that has to be amazing because that's your child, right? And you would have missed it, right? It's like the learning to read. What exciting it is, you know, as much as parents are like, oh, it's so hard teaching reading. But at the same time, when they first learn to read or when they first learn to walk, imagine not being there. It's the same thing for homeschooling. Like parents get excited when the child first starts to walk, right? And they have a few stumbles and you see the process of the crawling to getting themselves pulled up at a table, to being able, and then they fall and then they finally take those really sure, confident steps. And if you missed it. And so homeschooling allows you to have that front row, right, to really see and experience life and see the development of your children and know who they are and they know who you are, right? As a family. Just being in a family living together doesn't mean that's going to happen, right? You have to be intentional about it.
That's right. That's right. And to your point, you get to see those light bulb moments, you know, even in their schoolwork when, you know, maybe they're struggling with a certain concept, maybe math or, you know, multiplication or division or, you know, whatever it is that they're studying at the time. And then they start to get it. And it's like, yes, like it just clicked and it worked. And that's a great feeling to be able to, see them grow in that and gain the confidence and not get frustrated because all their class moving ahead of them because they all seem to get it, but your child didn't, and then they get frustrated and then
they get
then what happens, you know, and do they get left behind because, you know, they're moving on to the next concept because that builds on the previous concept and not knocking public schools because there's great things that come from public schools.
I know
that's something that could happen. And so, you know, I don't think anybody will have more vested interest in a student's education and the success in their education as a parent would.
Because I agree.
The parent is definitely want that student to have the absolute best. And if it takes another, you know, a few days, another week or so to cover this concept, having a hard time with it, let's take the time to do it. Let's do it right and make sure that we understand it and that we're all good to go. And then we can move on. And and you were talking too about, earlier about all these different curriculum that are out there that people can use to help ensure that they have the most six in there. And one thing, you know, we have three children that I've noticed is that for example, the math books that we use for one of our kids wasn't necessarily the same math books that we would want to use for the other kids because, or history or science or whatever. We use different different textbooks and different, ways of teaching because they have different learning styles.
Exactly.
And so that's kind of a good thing, too, is you get to kind of tailor it, let them learn how to learn.
Right.
Instead of, you know, maybe just memorize because just for the sake of it, hey, I just got to know this to pass a test and then let's move on to the next thing.
Exactly. And help them love learning too, right?
Yeah, right. And love getting those light bulb moments.
Right.
Right. Right. When things click and it's like, I get it now.
Right.
That's an awesome feeling. I don't care who you are. When something that you're struggling with and all of a sudden it just clicks.
And you master it, right.
Oh, man, is that a good feeling, you know?
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
And so helping them have more of those moments and experience them, I think are awesome.
Yes.
You know, and you talked about your organization, Military Homeschoolers Association. Mm-hmm. I did want to get into that just a bit too. I know you briefly mentioned it, but mm-hmm. You know, kind of what just do you provide and you know, help folks in their homeschooling journey through that association?
Yeah, so I'm really excited about MHA. Military has acronyms. We call it Military Homeschoolers Association. We've named it MHA. We have a board of amazing people who are all in the military connected homeschool space. I'm about who I selected to be on this first board because this is my vision, my thoughts. And I wanted people who could come alongside and who see it and are passionate. And it's not just me. Okay, this is what we need to do. But they are invested and they see because they are actually living the life themselves. They are military connected homeschoolers. And so from that, we've developed one is our podcast called Base to Base. Military homeschooling. And so it's Base and then the number two Base, Military Homeschooling. And the thought that, and I developed that and I said, let's put this podcast under MH because it's all for military homeschooling parent. And the uniqueness of it is it's going to be based on installations because we move so frequently. And now our family, we're on the retired side now 3 years. So we aren't moving, you know, because the government sends us. But we lived that life for a long time. And we know that every 2 or 3 years, we were packing up and moving somewhere else. And right. So, and we often as homeschoolers are trying to find somebody else who is at that next duty station, who is homeschooling, who can share everything with us. Like, is there a co-op? Or, you know, what's the local homeschooling community like? And, you know, what, you know, how many homeschoolers about so are on base? And, you know, what are the resources that exist and look like as a homeschooler there? Because, again, like I mentioned at the beginning, we are adjusting as well. We're looking for our next homeschool community. And so I thought the guests would be that military homeschooling parent at an installation who has committed, is involved, and is very knowledgeable about their community. And we're going to talk about what is it like at like Fort Cavazos? You know, what is it like at like Fort Liberty? You know, what is it like, you know, here in the Belvoir area where we are to actually homeschool there? And then we'll bring you guests. We're looking always for curriculum providers who want to reach the military community. We are looking for organizations, have a message, maybe education program. So they just want to, you know, shout out their sponsorship of military homeschoolers. And so we'll have feature them as guests or give them a sponsorship slot as well. And then we are creating a homeschool educational webinar series for like homeschooling 101. And it's going to go up through the high school to college piece. These will be videos that parents can plug and play, right? Just, you know, look at and the knowledge and information that they have. The videos will provide. We also will be doing a similar series, the professional in DOD space called the School Liaison Officer. We call it the SLO in military communities or the SLO, and helping them because I work with them and I travel quite frequently for the Air Force, for the Navy, you know, in Marine Corps. I do virtual trainings for these school liaisons that are all over the world stationed at installations, and travel just was in San Antonio in December. And then I was in Jacksonville for the Navy and they invite me to train the school liaisons. So we want to say, how do we clone Natalie and turn this information into kind of that these new school liaisons can actually learn more about homeschooling because they are the resource. They're supposed to be the knowledgeable resource on an installation to help military families who went to homeschool. And then we also have special needs that we are curating resources because one of the things we found with our survey is that you have traditional that military families homeschool and it's the continuity, right? And you know, every 2 years we are moving. But we're also finding that families are that have neurodivergent children and they have these special needs also beginning to homeschool. And so we realized that our position is we want to help any military connected family who chooses to homeschool, we want to come alongside them to help them be successful. So that means lots of resources. That means lots of collaborations and partnerships. So we are creating these resources for special needs families. And we partner with like Blue Star Families, Military Child Education Coalition, known as MSEC. The Wounded Warrior Project partners with Elizabeth Dole and is a hidden helper coalition that we have partnered already with United Through Reading called UDR, where they have these mobile book stations and they can get all these books to homeschoolers on installation. So we are like, it has taken off in such an incredible way that I am so excited. And so those are a few signature things that we have going on. And so I'm really excited about it.
That is pretty good. And, especially, people with special needs are talking about, I have to imagine if, moving from one place to another, that frequently every 2-3 years, a big question, I don't have kids with special needs, but I would imagine if I did, question that I would have is resources available wherever it is that I'm next going to.
Right.
And if they are available, what's the quality of them? How good is this quality?
Yes.
And if it's not there, if the resource doesn't exist, that's a problem, obviously.
Right. It's a big problem. You're right.
But if it's missed, but just kind of, because really nobody needs that service in that particular, that's another problem that I would have as well. And so, if you are equipped to be able to handle whatever the need is that your child has, then going into it, they're going to be okay. We don't need go nuts trying to find, a school district that has this particular resource, whatever it may be for our child. We can handle it. We can keep it going. And that continuity is there.
Right. That's what we want.
Which especially for some kids, continuity might be very important because they thrive on routine. And if you throw them into a different environment, that could be a problem.
It can be hard. Yeah. We talk about children, military children being dandelions, and that's the flower, right? And so they're very resilient. Yeah. And I believe military families in general are very resilient, and the children are. But that doesn't mean that they don't have needs, and that this moving around and all of the unpredictability that can come with military life doesn't mean that they aren't impacted and that they don't need a little extra. So we hope through MHA to be that support to families and to be that support to the Department of Defense, because, military families who choose to homeschool, having adequate support and resources is a retention as well. And we know also related to that is that many families are choosing to homeschool because they are not happy with their local school system. So families, that's a retention issue that DOD is looking at as well. It's like, how do we improve the quality of our dependent children's education? And so families are pivoting to homeschool. So they still need the support and resources. Otherwise, the military life isn't working for them, right? And it has to work well for the family in order for the active duty member to be freed in their mind to do the job they need to do. And so it's really a big connection there. And the survey that we did, high percentages of families who said, this is a retention issue.
Yeah. And that's a great point. I didn't think of that, but you want to be able to give those service members the choices to be able to educate their children in whatever way that they see fit,
exactly,
wherever in the world that they end up. I think a crucial piece here is is that if you take those options away and they're now restricted in what they can or can't do, and they might say, hey, you know what, this isn't working for me, for my family. It's causing a lot of stress and other issues. And then you start losing good service members.
Right.
Who otherwise would be, maybe go on and continue a 20-year career, but decide to get out early because, hey, it's not working for our family.
It's not working. Yeah. And Scott, that just ties to another thing is that we know the branches haven't met their numbers, right? And when I say the Army and the Marine Corps, I think numbers, it's really not something to get excited about. They still have a lot of work to do. And so we don't, like you said, we don't want good quality service members getting out. They really want more to come in and they want them to stay. And so it's really important. One of the things I wanted to mention too, I'm doing, I'm not under my MHA hat. I have the homeschool Natalie Mack. I provide like homeschool consultations. I do helping families homeschool well, the high school to college piece, transcripts and all. And then I help families who have college bound athletes navigate the NCAA process. And I love to speak on that. But the piece that I want to mention in terms of the military is I have supported the Army and the Air Force and the Navy with the connection to the homeschool community, because what has happened in the years post-COVID is the military is not finding the numbers of students in public school who desire to serve, desire to come into the service. And traditionally, right, you imagine a local school has an office, recruiters, and, you know, I mean, there's still some coming in, clearly, I'm going to minimize that, but they aren't having the numbers that they used to have pre-COVID. And so a light bulb has gone off to where the military branches themselves have said, wow, this is a market of qualified high school students over here in this homeschool community. How do we reach them? And they've had hard times reaching them because we are not in a brick and mortar.
Yeah.
So you have to figure out how to get to us. Where are we? So we're in these co-ops, we're in these support groups, we may be at a homeschool conference held at the state level, you know, a nonprofit, private, you know, not state government, but, and so helping the military branches get connected. I've traveled to the Army. I've traveled to speak for the Air Recruiting, the Army USAREC, United States Army Recruiting Command, did a capability exercise called a CAPEX at Fort Liberty. I do a lot. I was just in Miami Beach in January for the Army for Recruiting Brigade. And so it's been interesting seeing, love that, because I loved our military service, right? And so, and I'm homeschooling, so I can speak the same language. Right. And I can also be authentic in saying, you really need to consider serving. And so kind of what happened out of that work that I've been doing is I have been now setting up ASVABs, Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery. I connect with the MEPS, and we've hosted two in this DC, Maryland, Virginia area. Oh, wow. So for homeschoolers to come into this ASVAB career exploration program. And what homeschoolers love is it's a free career assessment, and there's no commitment to enter military service. And so I have the homeschoolers, the military is looking for them for this ASVAB, and bringing it together has been super, super cool. And the homeschoolers themselves are like, wow, I didn't know I was good at this, because that's that career exploration part of the test. They bring their laptop, they take the test, the self-paced, and they get their scores, and they keep their scores. They only give them to the military if they actually are interested in enlisting. Okay. So it's been a really neat opportunity, and it's a free test. So I set it up for homeschool communities around the country. So it's been really interesting. So
that is interesting. Yeah. And it does have a lot of different, you know, career interests that get brought up in the test, and, you know, identifies what you might be good at. And maybe it was just something on your radar before, but then again, going back to our point previously, you have time to now maybe explore this and see,
exactly,
is that really something I'd like or whatever. So, well, this has been, very insightful, very interesting conversation. I know, you know, I'm a little bit of our family, you know, obviously your fans as well. I think it's definitely not looked at the way it used to be. Back years ago, it's definitely an option that more and more families are in. And for me, I'm not currently serving in the military anymore. However, if I was, I for sure would be exploring all the homeschool options, just because, you know, yes, you're moving all over the place all the time, but you know, you want to make sure that you're making the most of it. Especially in the military, when, you know, maybe there's deployments involved and you're going to be away for 6, 9, 12 months, 18 months, whatever it is, you're going to be away from your family for that long. You want to make the most of the time that you have with them. And I think that's a, kind of a crucial point as well. But yes. I do want to thank you, Natalie, for coming on the show, sharing your insights into military homes and your continued support of the military families and their homeschooling efforts through thank all the work that you're doing. So it's really, really appreciated. Thank you so
much. Thank you. I appreciate the invitation. This has been a great conversation. I love speaking on homeschooling and just kind of, you know, providing insight so people maybe see it as a viable option. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks again.